Oh, where is this radio program for seniors? I can't find it. Errol, what's this radio thing called that we're looking for seniors?
Oh, I don't know, Arthur. Isn't it wireless something or something wireless? You should have written it down when I told you to.
Hang on. I think this might be it.
You're listening to Radio Coda.
Found it.
Hello and welcome back to Radio Coda, a weekly podcast radio show for older Queenslanders, proudly brought to you by the Council on the Ageing Queensland. I'm your host Andy Neal, and as always, it's great to have your company. So grab a cuppa, put your feet up, and let's see what we've got in store for you on the show this week.
Founded in 1957, Council on the Ageing, CODA Queensland, is a not-for-profit organisation advancing the rights, needs and futures of people as we age. Working in partnership with the Queensland Government, local councils, community organisations and the community to create an age-friendly Queensland. To join or to find out more, visit cotaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348.
Radio Coda.
One, two, kick it back, kick it back. Let those arms, let those legs move. Just eight more. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Hello again and a big warm welcome to this week's show. We're going to be talking about health and fitness for the over 50s. Now, before you run away and hide, there's no need to fear this subject. We're looking at ways we can all get fitter, stronger and healthier, doing things that are simple, effective and most importantly, fun. Just to get us off on the right foot, pun intended, here's a great chat we had with the North Hab Physio and Fitness Chief Physiotherapist and Health Guru, Chris North. Chris has some great advice for us on how to improve our overall health, fitness and strength in a way that keeps the abilities and needs of the older person in mind.
Three, four, and up, clap.
Okay, so off the couch now. Here we go. Drag your Richard Simmons tank tops and short shorts out of the closet and let's get physical.
Chris, good morning and welcome to Radio Coda.
Morning, Andy. Good to be here.
What are some of the physical challenges, from your experience, some of the issues that we face as we reach 50 and move beyond?
I think some of the big challenges, as we sort of hit 50 and beyond, it also correlates with the time where physically we're becoming a little bit less active. You know, the kids are starting to move on a little bit and lives of their own, and our lifestyles often become a little bit more sedentary.
Yes.
And I think that one of the big issues with that is obviously as we become more sedentary, we tend to start accumulating more other health problems and issues. And if you look at some of the statistics, inactivities were the second greatest contributor to cancer burden in Australia behind tobacco smoking. And I think that, as well as with the issues obviously with cancers and also cardiovascular and ischemic heart disease and type 2 diabetes, and I think the big one for me that I see is the mental health side of it as well.
Yeah.
So I think physical inactivity becomes a big issue as we get a little bit older.
And do we sometimes perhaps think, you know, well, things are a little bit harder to do than I used to do. I can't quite move as freely as I could. I don't have that flexibility that I had before. You're talking about psychologically. Do we perhaps fall into that trap a little bit of saying, well, this is my lot, I'm of that age, and just accept it?
Oh, I think definitely, and I think we all know we have to exercise. I think we all understand that, but I think it's a case of, well, how do we do it? And I think people who've come from some degree of sporting background think, oh, okay, well, you know, I remember my old football coach telling me I need to do sit-ups and push-ups and pull-ups and all sorts of things. So we do try and go back to what we know, and that's not necessarily right. I mean, our bodies do change as we get a little bit older. We naturally lose a bit of lean muscle mass. You know, obviously we get changes to our bone density and cardiovascular changes and various other things. So what used to be good for us back in our 20s, it's not really the type of exercise we need to be doing as we push into our 50s and 60s and beyond.
Yeah, it's a different thing altogether. So physiologically speaking, some of the more common ailments, I guess, that you would see that people would come in to see you for?
Yeah, I guess being a physio, most people present these days more with degenerative shoulder conditions or a dodgy neck or back or knee that's starting to wear out. And so that then obviously becomes a bit of a problem from a pain perspective and therefore reduces their activity. So as we get a bit older, I think we've got other barriers that we have to overcome in order to get back into exercise. So most people initially present with pain. And from there, I guess it's, well, how do we help relieve the pain and then what can we do to keep it good? Because I think from a physio perspective, we can help you move better. We can help you gain more freedom with your mobility, but we can't keep you good. And the only thing that really keeps you good is exercise and strength.
Nobody can predict the future, so planning ahead can bring peace of mind to you, your family, and your friends. Planning ahead can ensure your financial, medical, and personal wishes are respected and followed. Coda Queensland have developed information sessions about choosing an enduring power of attorney, planning ahead, and how to identify key people in your life who know and respect you, and, should they be required, will act on your wishes. These sessions are free, interactive, and available from February 2017 until May 2018 in various locations throughout Queensland. If you're part of a community or seniors group and think this session would benefit your members, contact bookings@cotaqld.org.au or phone 1300 738 348 for more information or to make a booking for your community or seniors group. This project is funded by the Queensland Government, Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services, with the support of the Public Trustee.
You're listening to Radio COTA.
Now, for people like myself, pretty much all of the symptoms you just described there describe me pretty much to a T. A lot of the time, it's that real catch-22 situation where I know I need the exercise, but the pain is there and sometimes it makes you think, well, I can't do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's a big barrier for most people because, unfortunately, we can't get older without getting aches and pains. And my best advice to people is to the threshold, not through the threshold.
Right.
And what I mean by that is pain's a funny creature. You know, pain presents in all sorts of ways and it's affected by all sorts of things. And so I guess understanding, people throw out the term good pain and bad pain, but I guess understanding what's healthy for you and what's not healthy for you. Probably the easiest way to think about it is that if you want to change your strength or your fitness, you have to push your body beyond its current comfort level, for want of a better description. And and by doing that, you're essentially putting yourself in a position where you're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to feel, let's say, light pain. Now, pushing your body to the point where it adapts and changes and gets better is a positive thing. So general aches and pains and muscle soreness and tiredness is not necessarily a negative thing. However, there is a point at which what's good for you becomes bad for you.
Right.
If you push your body to the point where you're getting that sharp, catchy, stabby, achy type pain, and for example, you know, lifting your arm up over your head, if as you try and lift your arm up, you get this real catch, a stab of pain, well, that's clearly not a positive pain. That's a negative pain, and that's going to become an inflammatory type thing.
Right.
So I guess to summarise that, we want to push our body to the point where we get this mechanical loading where the body has to adapt and change. We don't want to push the point to where you get an inflammatory or a chemical type of pain. So you don't want that catchy, stabby pain.
Yeah. So the old adage of no pain, no gain is true to a degree.
To a point, I'd prefer to say no discomfort, no gain. You know, like you have to get your body out of its comfort zone. And I guess that's where a lot of the regulations and the guidelines are heading towards, is that recommending that people get themselves out of their comfort zone every day.
Right. So that moves us to the question of what do we do about it? What can we do to, firstly, help ourselves with issues we might already have, but to try and prevent some that may come up in the future?
Well, I think the big thing is it's 80-year-olds, not 18-year-olds, that should be in the gym.
Yeah.
Number one, I think that we sort of associate moving and being physically active with younger people. And realistically, what's holding you back? And I think what we need to do is you need to move every day.
Yes.
And when I say to the threshold, not through the threshold, you need to move to a point where your body says, geez, I'm not overly happy with that. But you obviously don't want to overdo it with risk of causing yourself any physical injuries.
And for older people, what are the best types of exercise to try and maintain?
Well, put simply, the best type of exercise is the one you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's no mythical, magical, this is the type of exercise you must do.
Right.
Everyone's different, and ultimately there has to be a social component to your exercise.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't enjoy it, you won't do it.
True.
It's exercise over the long term that's going to make the difference. Exercising for 2 or 3 weeks and then getting a bit sick of it and leaving it for 3 months and then going back for a few weeks, that's not particularly helpful. And even to a point on a more narrow focus, sedentary, sitting down. You can't replace 8 to 10 hours of sitting down with a half-hour exercise program. Our bodies don't work like that.
Right.
So the type of exercise you want to do is something that you enjoy, something that you get a kick out of, whether it's playing with the grandkids or catching up socially for a game of golf or something that you enjoy doing and something you're likely to continue to do on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So what that means, I guess, is you should be trying to get a balanced exercise program that incorporates lots of different things. And number one, you have to exercise to a point where you get a cardiovascular benefit. So where you're talking, but you can't raise your voice, yell, sing.
Mm.
You know, so you need to push your heart and lungs to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
You also need to do some strength work. And probably strength is the one that is most important as we get a bit older, because we naturally lose strength, our lean muscle mass.
Mm.
And lots of weight-bearing type exercise. So need to at least twice a week be doing something that really challenges your muscles, whether that be step-ups or whether it be wall squats or whether it be a long walk up hills or something that really challenges those muscles.
Radio COTA has been created for you, our listeners. Email us at radiocota@cotaqld.org.au to give us your feedback, offer topic suggestions, share your stories and let us know what interests you. Radio COTA is funded by the Department of Communities, Child Safety and Disability Services in Queensland. Send us a line, we would love to hear from you.
You're listening to Radio COTA.
I'm quite a big fan of going to garage sales, and it always amuses me. One of the first things you see usually at the front of every garage sale is some whiz-bang bit of AB 2000 type equipment or whatever it might be.
Oh, they make great clothes hangers, Andy.
Yeah, and invariably speaking, they're in brand new condition because they've been used once and no one ever came back to it. And I suppose a lot of people fall for that advertising of as little as 30 seconds a day and you can look like this. So I guess what you're saying there, Chris, is it's the simple things that you can do every day that don't need expensive equipment to achieve. Just the simple things like, as you said, playing with the grandkids or walking, or I assume swimming's probably a good thing too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm.
And you're right, it's anything that you enjoy.
Mm.
There's no magical one-off piece of equipment that's going to cover all your basic needs. And that's why there's so many in the garage sales.
Mm.
Balancing your exercise out to lots of variety is probably the key. So some low-impact exercise such as swimming or on the exercise bike is fantastic.
Mm.
So water aerobics and the like. But you also need to include that strength and resistance type training. So either a gym or going for a walk, a bushwalk where it's lots of different terrain is useful.
Mm.
But you also need to do some cardiovascular type work. It doesn't have to be ambulatory. It doesn't have to be walking. It can be sitting in the wheelchair. It could be grabbing 2 bags of rice and doing some little push-ups over your head or little elbow curls. So something that for you is meaningful and it's pushing your body, whatever your capabilities are, to that threshold, to that edge to where you're feeling uncomfortable, you feel like you're working, but you haven't reproduced any sharp, catchy pain. And I guess the key for me is when you stop, the pain's still there after 5 minutes, you've pushed it too hard.
Right. Chris, I guess really with all the exercise and all the things that people can do, that's great. It probably doesn't hurt to get some good advice from a professional in that everything is individual and everyone has different aches and pains and different needs. Would you recommend doing that?
Oh, exactly, Andy, because as we've been talking about, exercise is limitless. But then again, everyone's got certain capabilities and abilities, and so therefore you need to make sure you're doing the exercise that suits you personally. So seeing your local physio or an exercise professional can be really useful in making sure that you get more bang for your buck, you're doing the right exercise to suit you, but also importantly that you're not going to expose yourself to any sort of risk of injury or health issue.
I guess if you're doing the wrong sort of exercise for your own needs, that's probably quite easy to do.
Oh, look, it definitely is. And as we're saying, it's what we remembered we used to do from an exercise way of life is not necessarily what's good for you as your body's changing as you get older. So
yeah,
you do need to make sure it's relevant and it's not going to expose you to any sort of risk of injury.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Chris, very kind of you to spend that time with us today and clarify all of that. And it certainly does give us a lot to think about. Much appreciated.
Oh, my pleasure, Andy.
We'll look forward to catching up again sometime.
Thanks, Andy. Bye.
Cheers.
What are we listening to?
Radio Coda.
You know, Arthur, this weather's been so hot, I reckon our electricity bill's going to go through the roof. And we haven't even been using our air conditioner this summer. Every time the power bill comes in, I feel like it's been written in another language. It's just so hard to understand. Prices are forever changing and those tariff thingies are so confusing.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. My old mate Bert was saying there were changes made in the electricity market last year, which means electricity retailers can charge us whatever they want. Bert said it also means now that we can shop around for a better deal.
Be that as it may, Arthur, it's all too confusing, and I just don't have the time to be chasing around trying to sort it all out.
Well, you won't have to worry about that, Beryl. Have you heard about the Switched On Seniors?
No, I haven't. Switched On Seniors? Sounds like some kind of head-banging rock band.
Ah, you're a funny old bird you are, Beryl. No, it's a free information session that's being offered to seniors groups, and it helps explain all the electricity changes.
Well, that certainly sounds like a good idea, Arthur. Do you think they'd do one of those information sessions where our seniors group usually meets?
Well, that's the great part. You know that Radio Kota podcast thingy we listen to each week? Well, apparently the Kota Queensland people have what they call peer educators, and they travel all over southeast Queensland visiting seniors groups just like ours.
Well, that certainly makes it a lot easier. Let's sign up for that then.
I totally agree with you, my darling. So can you get on to organising that, please? I'm just a wee bit busy at the moment.
Busy? You're sprawled out in that old armchair of yours watching the cricket. Don't put your feet on the coffee table. You must have been born in a shed.
Opportunities are limited, so book early to secure a session for your seniors group or organisation. Visit www.cotaqld.org.au to obtain a booking form or email bookings@cotaqld.org.au. Here on Radio Kota, it's time for the news.
So here we are, Radio Kota podcast number 53, Ange.
53 is a fantastic number for us.
Okay, is it special in some way that I'm not aware
of? 5 and 3 is 8, and 8 is a lucky number in Chinese numerology. There you go.
Okay. So you're feeling fit, Ange?
Sure, let's go with that.
How'd you enjoy the interview with Chris?
Oh, he's a lovely bloke, isn't he?
Isn't he? Very smart fella.
Yeah, he is, and he just makes it so easy to understand. Got a lot of great advice for people.
Yeah. So you've got some of your own here for us, Ange. So physical activity, you have some ideas on keeping fit and healthy.
Yes, do as I say, not as I do.
That's it.
With the cooler season upon us, this week's podcast is dedicated to keeping healthy and active, even when all we really want to do is stay warm by snuggling on the couch with a good book or movie.
And a doona.
Or the heater on.
Yeah.
It's all good. So why do we need to participate in regular physical activity? One reason is to maintain healthy, strong bones, especially as we are getting a little older. Another reason is to try to prevent diseases such as osteoporosis, diabetes, arthritis, and other conditions which significantly impact on your general health and well-being. A few facts. Osteoporosis is the most common bone disease which increases your risk of fractures, particularly to the hips, wrists, and spine, as bones become brittle and fragile due to low bone mass and bone tissue. Maximum bone density and strength is reached at about 30 years of age. After this age, the bone building, which is constantly being broken down and rebuilt in tiny amounts, shifts with more bone being lost than gained.
Hmm.
Osteoporosis develops when there's an abnormal imbalance between bone loss and growth. Several risk factors are associated with the risk of developing osteoporosis. Some are genetic, such as family history of the condition. Others include being a woman, particularly in postmenopause, being 50 or older, having small or thin bones, and/or being Caucasian or Asian. Other risk factors, some of which can be controlled, include smoking, excessive alcohol consumption, eating disorders, dietary deficiencies, especially lacking in calcium and vitamin D, lack of exercise, long-term use of some medications, and low estrogen or testosterone levels. The disease is most prevalent in women over the age of 65 and in men over the age of 70, but this doesn't mean that you don't need to care for your bones when you're younger.
Very true.
Most osteoporosis-related bone fractures occur in the spine, which is serious stuff, followed by the wrists, hips, and pelvis. Often these fractures are a result from a minor fall or accident. However, spinal fractures may also occur if the spinal bones or vertebrae weaken to the point of crumbling. Osteoporosis causes pain and alters your posture. However, a more serious issue includes reduced mobility, often leading to depression and or anxiety. So how do we try to prevent this condition? A little bit of work and willpower is involved. You can quit smoking, reduce alcohol intake, get involved in some gentle exercise, such as walking or lifting weights, and maintain a well-balanced diet, including grains, fruits and vegetables, dairy products or other calcium-rich foods, and meat or beans each day, and have a healthy dose of vitamin D. Don't forget to slip, slop and slap. Vitamin D supplements are available for people who are unable to get enough through sunshine and diet. If you already have osteoporosis, it's important to try to prevent falls, slips and trips. A few tips on doing this: keep your home well lit and free from clutter, install handrails and slip-free flooring or mats, wear slip-resistant footwear, be aware of the side effects of any medications you are taking, such as drowsiness, and maintain a regular gentle exercise routine to maintain strength in muscles. For more information on osteoporosis and staying healthy, please take some time to speak with your GP and a dietitian.
Okay. And that was avoiding, what was it, slips?
Slips, trips and falls.
I always thought that was a solicitor's office. Good afternoon, slips, trips and falls. How can I help you?
We are so easily entertained.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was all fairly, I guess, downbeat stuff there, Ange, and stuff we have to be aware of too, but on the positive side, what are some of the benefits of exercising for people?
From a personal level, I'm not quite sure.
Right.
It's been a long time for me. But after listening to Chris, I'm just inspired to get out there and lift some weights.
Do it.
Okay, but seriously.
But seriously, and as Chris said, very important that whatever you do, it just should be enjoyable.
Have some fun.
Mm.
It's good when you can exercise without actually realizing that you're exercising, as long as you're having fun and laughing.
Yeah.
Okay, so the benefits of exercise to people 40 years and over. The amount and size of muscle fibers decrease with age, with some studies suggesting that the average body loses around 3 kilos of lean muscle every decade from about middle age. Evidence also suggests that the changes to muscle fibers are more related to a sedentary lifestyle rather than age. The good news is muscle fibre can increase after regular exercise for a relatively short period of time. With bone density declining around the age of 30 to 40, with an acceleration of bone loss around the age of 50, it's essential to maintain some form of physical activity such as gentle exercise, walking, swimming or light weights. Weight-bearing exercise helps to keep bones healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm.
Moderate intensity exercise is great for the heart and lungs. Studies show that while cardiorespiratory fitness takes longer to achieve in an older person, the physical benefits are similar. People with arthritis or similar joint problems can also benefit from aerobic and strengthening exercise programs, and regular exercise not only burns those unwanted calories, it also increases muscle mass and speeds up the metabolism. But don't fret. This doesn't mean you have to join a gym and pay exorbitant membership fees. Physical exercise can be an enjoyable social occasion without the financial outlay. Exercise with friends, go for a brisk walk, cycle or swim, use light hand and or ankle weights and enjoy the sunshine and fresh air. Is fishing considered exercise?
Certainly is for the fish.
It should be. I'm just trying to find an exercise that I might do.
Is it real exercise?
Here we go. Other options include hiking, gardening, lawn bowls and water aerobics. There's so much to choose from. Make sure you check your pulse regularly, choose appropriate clothing and safety equipment, and drink plenty of water. But before you start any exercise program, make sure you speak with your GP.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, I was chatting with Chris offline after we'd completed the interview, and he was saying, for me, one of the best things for the arthritis I have in my hands is actually playing the guitar.
Really?
So
I thought that would aggravate it because it's pretty intense
workout.
Well, it's
the fine motor skill things apparently and whatever, but I was pleased because I was telling him how my hands are getting sore a lot quicker now playing guitar, and he said, well, keep it up because it's very good for him. So I was pleased to hear that.
He's giving you hope. Yeah.
It could be. I asked him if I could play the violin and he said, absolutely. I said, well, it's good because I've never been able to at this point. So we're going to change the subject entirely, Ange. You've got some information regarding a focus group for domestic violence.
Yes. Lifeline Australia's DV Alert is a nationally recognised training program funded by the Department of Social Services as a key initiative under the National Plan to Reduce Violence Against Women and Their Children. Since 2011, the two-day DV Alert training course has been offered free of charge to the health, allied health and community frontline workers. The training enables frontline workers to confidently recognise signs of domestic and family violence, respond with appropriate care, and refer people experiencing or at risk of domestic and family violence to appropriate support services. Since 2012, DV Alert has expanded to include the context of domestic and family violence experienced by Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander women, followed in 2014 with domestic and family violence experienced by women of non-English speaking background. The DV Alert training is now being further expanded to include the diverse nature of the violence and sexual assault experienced by women with disabilities. As a preliminary step, Lifeline Australia seeks to consult with key organisations whose staff could be likely to receive first disclosure from a woman with disability about the violence that she has experienced. In the focus groups, information that staff have already used or might need will be explored, and the referral pathways that work in order for a disclosure to be acted on effectively. Because of the nature of the material to be discussed, debriefing support will be on hand at all focus consultations.
Yes.
So you can RSVP to sudata@optusnet.com.au, and this is organised by Didactic Enterprises. So that email address again, sudata@optusnet.com.au, if you'd like to be involved in the focus group consultation for domestic violence against women and their children.
So to finish up, Ange, I thought perhaps a little game.
Okay.
Just to brighten up the news a little bit and to keep you on your toes. I'm going to play you a little bit of music. And then you can see if you can come up with something news-wise that'll fit in with the music. So here you go.
Sure. Okay.
Have a little listen to this. So there you go. Now you've heard it. What do you got?
I'm thinking that it's the Million Paws Walk that's happening on Sunday, the 21st of May.
Well done. And isn't that just quite timely that we've got Studio Dog here in the background joining in on the conversation?
Oh, look, he loves me. Why wouldn't he? He's only human.
He thinks he is.
So on Sunday, the 21st of May, over 25,000 Queenslanders and their dogs will walk the walk for the Million Paws Walk. Originally conceived by veterinarian Dr. Cam Day 23 years ago, the Million Paws Walk is the RSPCA's flagship fundraiser. There are 24 walk locations this year, and you can simply visit www.millionpawswalk.com.au to find the location closest to you. Over 50,000 animals pass through the RSPCA Queensland Animal Care Centres every year, and well over 14,000 dogs that have been surrendered, abandoned, or seized by inspectors. These dogs are not as fortunate as your much-loved family pet. They often need special veterinary and behavioural treatment, and they all need to be desexed and vaccinated before they have the chance to find a new home. The money raised through the RSPCA Million Paws Walk enables these dogs to receive daily care, vet treatment, and also funds rehoming programs. The cost to our community for these animals in need is in the millions. RSPCA Queensland is encouraging everyone to register for their local walk location and start fundraising today. Money raised through online fundraising, the sale of merchandise and activities on the day will help to fund the critical work of the RSPCA. All animal lovers are encouraged to brush off their walking shoes, pull out their pet's leash and bring along their best friend to Australia's leading pet event. This year, RSPCA Queensland is hoping to raise over $640,000, money that is absolutely vital. The annual RSPCA operating costs are just under $48 million in Queensland, and the organisation receives less than 1% of that figure in government funding. So every cent raised helps.
It does.
Head along to www.millionpawswalk.com.au to register.
We attend the Million Paws Walk every year, and Studio Dogs, Louie and DJ will both be there again this year, won't you, boys? Very cute.
On the day, there'll also be barbecues, competitions, exhibitors, food stalls and a coffee cart, on-stage entertainment, RSPCA stalls and the special 500 club activities. For more information, phone Jess Brain on 3426 9932.
Well, that's a good one to leave it with for today, Ange. Get along to that Million Paws Walk. It's a great cause and it is a whole bunch of fun. Speaking of a whole bunch of fun, Ange, it has been again.
An absolute pleasure, Andy.
And a pressure from this end as well. You take good care. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Radio Kota is produced by Riversong Productions for the Council on the Aging Queensland.
You're listening to Radio Kota.